You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is here. Minus the homie Red August. Get well. My man Jay Moore is in the building. How are you, sir?
Better than a lot of folks. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you have to put that in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of hurt in the world. Yeah. And for whatever things that you think you might be missing, there's somebody who can look at you right now and say, I wish I had that.
Fair point. Fair point, my man. Longevity, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. A little cold in here, though. Oh, man. Put on my hoodie.
I'll come on back around to you. my man, DJ J. Dib, what's happening?
Salutations.
How's everything, man?
I'm going to echo Jay Moore's sentiment that tomorrow will bring a better you.
Like this. And a positive. Better me.
Yeah.
I knew it was in you. I knew you could be positive.
Positivity.
Chill out. Nice way to start that, Jay Moore. That's a good vibe.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I just want to send a special shout out to my hometown of St. Louis.
Yes.
Because we had a really bad situation happen at a high school. Where there was, you know, you always think, oh, that's other places.
Yep.
You know, but it was a school shooting in St. Louis at a high school where I have friends that graduated from there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not, these are, once again, these were just kids trying to go to school, teachers trying to teach kids. And, you know, people are like, there's no solutions. There are solutions.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to be brave enough to engage those solutions.
Yeah, that's a bad situation, man. I read about that.
I haven't even heard nothing about it.
Me either.
It's just one of those things that we've talked about over the years because it continues to happen. Just
it's a performance arts high school, Central Visual and Performing Arts High School in St. Louis. And kid came in there, even though this is a school with metal, you know, all the things they say, oh, if we had this, these things wouldn't, you know, they had metal detectors, they had, security officers, you know, 19-year-old with a long gun still gets in there. Bruh. And, shoots several and kills a couple of kids and a teacher. So,
wow.
Man. I mean, it's like I said, that's why I, you know, sometimes you have to realize what your problems are in the grand scheme of things. You know, the fact that, like, oh man, I need to, get to the grocery store today, or I forgot this, or I need to do this. You really got to put those things into perspective sometimes.
Agreed. Well said.
Yep.
Lone, I see you made a wardrobe adjustment. What you got on there, man?
I just like to support brands out there doing the right thing.
Oh, is that what we move? Make sure you can they see it. Make sure you move. Is the mic in the way?
No, they can see it.
They can see it. Okay.
I'm not going to mention it. You know, you're
going to
have to watch.
Because they're not a sponsor.
But. Yeah, right, so you're going to have to watch. I got the matching shorts on. You know, I had full support today.
You rocking multiple items from said brand. Yeah. I see you.
I know it's not Balenciaga because they are too expensive.
They're way too expensive. Did y'all see anything crazy this week, man? Anything jump out to you? Anything?
What's up, Jackson?
Gobo, what's happening? Anything jump out to you that was outside the norm? Did we see any foolishness?
I mean, outside of what everybody's talking about?
Was literally been trending for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay out of that.
This isn't foolishness, but I would like to say if you are a fan of R&B and you like female vocalists who are out here doing it, then you need to check out the new Babyface album.
I was actually listening to that.
That is really a nice project. Album. It's something you can put on and just kind of let it ride.
The single he had with LMA was cold.
And the entire album.
At one after work, but the whole album is
really nice, man. Yeah. And you know,
I shouldn't be surprised though. Babyface OG, he's always been a chameleon. Like
Ladies Night or
Girls Night Out.
Girls Night Out. Yeah.
How many joints? I have to look it up.
I don't know the exact number.
Does it matter?
It does, man. I'm gonna tell you why. I have been convinced.
Babyface is not playing the streaming game. He's just out here putting out that good work.
There's 13 tracks.
13. That's a good number for me. I've been conditioned in the microwave era to cringe every time I see a project like The Games, where it's like he dropped a double album. Like, for what?
You were hoping that it wasn't more than like.
Yeah, I need Babyface.
I don't need 30 tracks.
I need Babyface right around where he at, about 11 to 13 joints, because I know they're gonna all be heat and take me somewhere. So I'm cool with that.
Gotcha.
But now I gotta listen to that, man, because you know that's the OG right there.
You know, but on the other side, you know, Drama and Jeezy put out the Snowfall record.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to hear that.
This is if you love Jeezy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't really get into the Recession too like I wanted to.
Yeah.
But this Jeezy, the production, I mean, it's just there. So if you are
it's classic Jeezy,
yeah. If you are a fan of the Thug Motivation series of albums, then this is it. So it's kind of it's just kind of crazy that like the two out, you know, as far as records, I don't think there's anything further apart from each other
opposite
than Babyface and Jeezy.
Yeah,
but I tell you, those are two records that I listened to this week and really enjoyed.
Let me ask you this, because I saw this T.I. Was being interviewed. I don't know if you guys have seen the show Just Blaze has with the young lady that does the custom sneakers. Have y'all seen that? Well, it's pretty dope. They bring artists on and kind of do a interview type thing, but she makes a custom sneaker that they haven't seen before they get there, presents it to them, and they kind of go into, you know, normal interview stuff. But T.I. was asked about the Mount Rushmore of Atlanta artists, and he had Goody Mob, Outkast, and he said Young Thug and like 21 Savage or something, excluding himself.
Those are politically correct answers.
Thank you, sir. Because my question was, I really think you could put Jeezy up there. Am I wrong when I say that? Am I missing somebody? I think Jeezy, and I'm not the biggest Jeezy fan. I'm going off what I know from Atlanta. I wouldn't have a problem with Jeezy having one of the four slots on that joint.
Are we saying Outkast gets one?
Yeah, we're going to give Outkast one. Just go ahead.
Because there was Goody Mob in there, right?
Yeah, and Goody Mob. We're gonna throw them in there and just let them each have a slot, right?
Okay.
Throw Killer Mike too.
I'd put Jeezy before. I'd put
Killer Mike based on all around
everything. Cumulative
everything he does.
Music, yeah.
What about Thug and 21 Savage? I think that's way premature.
I mean, he did that because he has to add somebody new.
He don't want to sound like old head, huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I can't.
What you got for me, Jay Moore? You're good with the first two, right?
If we put Goody Mob,
yep,
and then Outkast, and then if you put
Jeezy,
if you put Jeezy and Gucci, yeah.
Oh, round it out with Jeezy
and Gucci. Those are the four.
I don't think I'm mad at that.
You know,
Jeezy and
T.I. though.
I mean, T.I. said he excluded himself.
Himself.
Yeah.
But you don't have to exclude T.I. You could put T.I. in there.
I don't. I would put T.I. on there.
I'd take him out.
I would take Gucci. I love Gucci, but like, you know, there's a lot of filler there. I would put T.I. on there. It'd be T.I.,
Jeezy,
Outkast,
Goody Mob.
And you know what? Let's just be honest. And as much we love Goody Mob,
I almost wouldn't even put
Goody Mob. I have a hard time putting. Honestly, I would.
We got two good albums.
Honestly, I would go Outkast, Gucci, T.I., Jeezy.
You got to count CeeLo though.
No, that's a solo artist.
That's
solo.
Well, so Goody Mob has two good albums. The last album they had out is not that bad. But if we're talking about actual things that would get them on that list, it's only their first two albums. After that, it's a wrap.
So, no. I mean,
I don't know about that. Maybe I'm biased.
I would probably put Lil Jon on there before Goody Mob.
Because at one point,
Over Goody Mob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
He influenced the whole sound for 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I would, Outkast.
Now, I don't Lil think John, anybody that's in their 20s or something is going to say
if we want to go producers, Jermaine Dupri.
Got to be. DJ Toomp for me.
But we're not talking about producers.
No, we're not.
I'm just saying. Give my man his flowers, DJ Toomp. I like Lil Jon, man. I forgot about that. But I don't know if I'm budging on Goody Mob, man. I love Goody Mob, too.
Soul Food came out my freshman year of college, we ran that basically because it was still a tape until the tape popped.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? Like
when Still Standing came out, I was in Atlanta maybe 2 weeks before it released.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where?
And the record store was selling it minus the CD cover. So you just got the CD and a sleeve.
Wow.
And I sure did buy it.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
Had it 2 weeks early. You know, having something 2 weeks early back then,
that meant something.
That's a feat.
And the thing is, you had it because you wanted to have it, not because you could upload it, because there was nowhere to upload it.
Right.
That was a special feeling. Look, I remember offering when it was the Love Movement. I remember the place where I bought my CDs, a spot called Discount Den in Carbondale. They already had it. And I was excited because if you remember, it had like four or five remixes at the end. Like the remix to Scenario, that if you didn't have it on vinyl, yeah, you just didn't have it. It wasn't available anywhere on CD. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be available on CD for the first time. And I was willing to pay like $20 to the guy. I was like, I'll give you $20 right now for it. And he was like, nah, I can't sell it early. He's playing it in the store, but he would not sell it to me.
See?
Not for $20.
Was gatekeeping.
Yeah, see?
Yo, Gobinator has no idea about going out to cop something for $25, a double disc. You know what I'm talking about? That's dinosaur ages now.
What's up, B. Holcomb?
B. Holcomb, what's good, bro? Was Love Movement that bad?
No,
they said it
wasn't bad.
They
said it was not a bad album.
I know people that say that was a bad album. That's why I'm asking.
It just wasn't Midnight Marauders, and
it never would be.
You know, and
that was the beginning of the end.
No, it was
the end. Or the end on the documentary.
I mean, I remember having that issue with The Source, where it's Tribe Called Quest on the cover, and it says in big silver letters, "Breakup."
Yeah,
you know, and it was just like, all right, you know, I think a lot of people were. Like this was the group they grew up with, and just to say definitively, okay, we're breaking up now. Here's an album.
Yeah, it was some heat.
We'll do
on
some
that
shows.
Album.
It was some absolute heat.
Yeah,
on
they
that
had
album.
Some joints on there. I know you remember, don't you? The Love Movement.
Kinda, but not really, because I really did my deep dive into Tribe during the internet movement, so yeah, it was past all that, and so I had like a torrent of all of Tribe stuff, and it was just, so I would just play their songs.
Yeah.
Random. So I don't know what song's on what. I just know I just know the later stuff. You could always tell the records that Dilla did.
Yeah.
Cause the production was actually, don't get me wrong, Q-Chip's a great producer, but I thought the Dilla inspired and the stuff that Dilla was a part of production wise was better. So that's just me though.
No, I agree 100% as it relates to the production.
Because whenever I see the Uma, I was like, oh, yeah, Jay Dilla.
Yeah, Jay Dilla. Yeah, he laced Tribe, but he laced Busta. If you go, you know, read the credits, he laced all of them.
Yeah, that's an era of hip-hop we don't probably talk about enough is the Soul Quarian era.
I was having this conversation.
And just the influence that had.
You know, even, you know, they just released a anniversary edition of Janet Jackson's The Velvet Rope.
Dilla had a remix on it.
Yeah, and so it had a remix on it that, like, okay, it says Q-Tip, but I was like, this is Dilla.
You can always tell when it's Dilla, you know, or when he was at least co-producing it.
Yeah, and there's some other, like, there's a remix of Go Deep that Timberland and Missy did. And it's one of those things where, like, once again, if you didn't have it on vinyl, you didn't have it, but now it's available for streaming for the first time.
That Velvet Rope was hot.
That mug was hot.
But, like, the remixes on the Velvet Rope, the people that those should some of the stuff that was remixes should have been what was on the album, mm-hmm, and what was on the album was heat. So
Dilla has always been, what's the word I'm looking for, man?
He's always been a producer.
Well, he's always been a rapper. And he raps too. J-Lib was dope.
You know about J-Lib?
Come on, man. Come on now.
What's your favorite song off J-Lib?
Track 6, produced by Pete Rock.
So you downloaded it, so you don't.
Okay,
remember.
So then you definitely are not talking about J-Lib because
was it Pete Rock?
Stars was
Pete
my
Rock
joint.
He's featured on that album. Whatever.
No, you mean the one on. He's rapping on?
Yes.
Okay. Because if you're going to say,
did I say produced?
If you said produced, I was going to say, well, you just told on yourself.
The joint that Pete Rock raps on, that joint is my favorite joint on the album. That joint is hard.
Yeah. So the whole those that don't know is that Dilla rapped on the Madlib beats and Madlib rapped on the Dilla beats on that album.
Yep.
That was the whole premise of that.
He's
which is why when you said that, produced, I was like,
yeah,
oh yeah?
What's that? Floydian, is it Floydian?
Freudian?
Freudian. Yeah.
Freudian slip. No. Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm not sure if it's that, but yeah.
I got it on vinyl.
Close enough, bro.
Yeah.
But nah, Dilla is always, I was having a conversation with one of our listeners. He's like, man, I just don't get it. I just don't get it about the Dilla phenomenon. I mean, he's dope, but I just don't get it. And that comes up every once in a while as it relates to producers. Like if somebody says, yeah, I got Jay Dilla in my top five, there's always two or three people that are like, I don't know if he should be that high. I don't understand it, man. I don't understand it. But some people missed a wave. There's waves that I've missed.
So, but, yeah, I didn't think so. Pete Rock's not on this.
He's not.
You talking about Raw with Talib Kweli?
Track number. I could be wrong.
Hear it. He didn't hear it.
That's number
seven.
You went
outside.
That's number seven.
Bro, I thought that maybe I'm confusing it with something else. Yeah. I got to take the L then.
They got records maybe together.
Like there's a joint too. With, I don't know.
No, it might. It could be. Maybe I misspoke. But there's a joint that he produced. There's a verse from Pete Rock. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to find it now. Now you're making me mad. I got to find it.
That sounds super familiar. I just didn't know it was
song,
on there.
That song is cold. All right. Well, never mind. Am I? Sorry.
I think my favorite on this was.
But this album is still fire. I just lots of them. I ain't gonna cap it.
The official. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, that beat is cold.
Y'all don't like Stars?
It don't stand out like the official.
I don't know. Star, like, that was one of those. I don't know what it was. Maybe
I'd have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
I'd know it. Again, this was in that era of like.
You were downloading stuff,
digesting a whole bunch of stuff.
So you were listening.
Everything was out of order and everything. So
not labeled correctly.
That too. Like, I know a lot of these.
Some of these people on YouTube
been heavy.
But in these crates though, because I'm finding kind of like alone type people. I find a lot of random Dilla stuff just uploaded and then it'll be gone. You know, if I try to go back, he got so much heat.
I got a lot of his stuff.
Even the instrumentals, like him and Elzai's Love It Here. That's one of my favorite joints he ever did.
Yeah, I didn't mean to call you out on that, man.
It's cool. I'm gonna hold that one. But when I find that song, I'm gonna hold it. When I find that song, though, we're gonna have to play it on the show if we don't get a strike. But the song is fire.
Yeah,
we got to talk about that one. It's one of the topics I had in a suggestion that y'all voted for.
Oh yeah,
He's 23 years old and
still unreleased music,
bruh. But it was artists like Frank Ocean, Ye. Post Malone, Ed
Where's Sharon. His music at?
It's on a hard drive. Like he cracked the code. Lil Uzi Vert. He managed to access unreleased material. He hacked digital accounts from all the artists, and the hacker admitted to a total of 19 charges, including 3 charges of gaining unauthorized access to a computer, 14 copyright offenses, 2 charges of possessing criminal property, and one offense of converting criminal property. So basically, dude had 565 audio files on his computer, and he sold a Frank Ocean song for $1,000 to somebody.
He's
all
money.
Unreleased joints.
He did all that.
NFT'd it.
He did all that and didn't make enough money.
Yo, so he's
either that or people really don't want Frank Ocean songs.
Mm. Don't do
But I don't think that's the case.
That's definitely not the case. He made $148,000.
I guess he did make a
flex.
Little change.
Yeah, just off of, just being a super hacker. Would this
He ain't the first.
He ain't the first, but would this spook you being an artist today, or are we used to this? Because this is a big hack.
This has literally been going on.
565 files?
It's been going on.
Bro, I thought, and he said they even went through the cloud, and they went through, what's the joint I use? WeTransfer. Got all of them.
Well. So, people need to be doing their hacking skills or using their hacking skills for something more.
Stealing Frank Ocean song?
Yeah, some more Robin Hoodish.
No, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Steal from the rich, give to the poor.
It's like nobody
has. We should have eliminated student loans a long time ago. We shouldn't have to wait for Biden to let $10,000 free up off of our student loan account. If people are able to get this intricate as far as hacking people's stuff and getting music.
Yeah.
No, that's
something else.
But I mean, like that he's going to jail, though. They got him. People, I love that he's going to jail.
They got the kid who broke into Rockstar servers and posted all this, the early builds of Grand Theft Auto 6.
I did see that.
They charged him quick.
Oh, yeah. They got
like in a day.
Yeah, they wasn't playing with him.
Wait, you said early what?
Early builds and like
Grand Theft Auto 6.
Like
early access.
Early,
or,
you know.
Or not access, just
unfinished.
Game video
clips, they didn't release it for somebody to play though. It was just actual still images, right?
You said they
there were videos.
People were playing it.
There were videos, like full videos of Grand Theft Auto 6 that were released online.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
you said, they popped him off quick.
It was like
though.
A day. They got him in a day. Yeah,
because he tried to do some extortion. It was like, hey, I'll.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't even know that part.
Yeah, because he wasn't just
stupid.
Doing it to do it. He was like, yo. You want me to release this? You need to come on some. I was like, all right, now you've officially committed a felony, sir.
Now you're doing some other stuff.
Long, when I said I'm glad they caught him and they're gonna sit him down for this, you were kind of like, what's the thought behind that?
My thought is like I mean, I get it.
Because it's foul. I mean, you know this is foul, right?
So he took people's files, act people's files, and he released them. Yeah, all that's wrong.
Got paid.
Yeah, all that's wrong. I can agree with all that stuff. But in the grand scheme of things, of all the things that are going wrong and the stuff you can spend allocate your resources towards, unless he like handed himself in, and I don't know, man. It just like, all right, I don't know. I guess I just don't care. But
you knew it was going.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think about it, of all the things that, you know, we already live in a society where they're locking up people for too much anyways. So I just kind of look at it from that lens. It's like, yeah, I mean,
I would be hurt if somebody had unreleased. I ain't saying my joints would be worth that much, but I'm just saying, somebody got that many files or whatever, cumulative files from stuff that I've done or I've collaborated with, and then flipped it and got that much money.
No, I agree. I agree with all those points. I guess it just really comes down to the fact of, like, I don't know. It's like, whatever. Like, okay, they got him. The end. You know, like,
it's a lot of bread to make two off.
But we're also talking about, like, he's stealing from rich people. So you know, it's like, all right, you know, oh no, they're. Frank Ocean's probably not hurting from that $1,000, considering he like got an entire record label out of a whole bunch of more and never put out a project. You know what I mean?
So, I wonder what the person does that cops for $1,000. Like, what are you going to do with
a whole bunch of Martin Shkreli type folks, right? This is a whole bunch of stuff that just doesn't concern me. It's like the whole
bunch of tax bracket.
It's like rich people. Stealing from rich people, and then other rich people are buying the stuff.
Stolen goods. It's like the black market online type stuff. People know where to go to find this stuff, and they got the money to do it.
But are these people even trying to play these records out, saying they got exclusive?
See, that's the part I'm torn. I'm like, I don't understand what the reasoning behind copping one of those records.
Because back in the day, you know, a mixtape DJ might, you know, a label hookup, and people at the label be mad if something was on a Clue tape that wasn't supposed to be out for 3 months or wasn't supposed to be out at all, you know. But if you just having an MP3 to have it, like, I don't know if that's even any of my business. I don't care.
That's almost like
I'm not paying $1,000 to be the only guy that has this song.
Thank you. I just don't care.
It doesn't. I don't benefit off of that any.
Yeah. Bro, like, what are you going to do? Just sneak around and tell people, hey, check this out. I got this Frank Ocean joint that's never been out, and I paid $1,000
I do that all the time with a whole bunch of Dilla stuff. I got a whole bunch of Dilla stuff that nobody have. Like, bruh. I've downloaded it. I don't have a whole bunch of Dilla stuff that hasn't been released. I don't have it.
I don't have a hard drive full of music and video games.
No, not at all.
No, I didn't just do that on the street. I never had an alternate cut of Black Dynamite that I showed to a bunch of people. I don't have that.
Nope.
I don't have banned video games from other countries.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I don't know what you were talking about.
I wouldn't even have you pictured as someone that would do that.
Yeah. I haven't found.
I don't know.
I have not found a way to play Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis games on my Xbox One. I have no idea how to do that.
Let me know if it ever happened, though, because I have not done that.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I have not found a way to play Tecmo Bowl 2023.
Look, man, I pay my HBO subscription every month.
Yeah, I pay.
That proves that I don't steal.
I have Netflix.
Here we go.
Hulu.
I like that.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, you got. Oh, and why you say and Hulu like that?
I got them both.
Balling. Yeah.
Showtime too, huh?
He wants to be up.
Yeah, I'm paying 99. I pay 99 cents a month for BET Plus.
Yeah,
gonna drop off once the little.
I don't think I'd ever joint. Ever do that.
Wow, you don't want to buy BET?
I will buy BET. You want me to be the
no
I,
no
I,
don't
I
do
be,
this.
I can be the fake Jewish person that owns owns BET, right?
I knew it.
I don't believe that. No, let me stop.
I knew you. It has nothing to do with that, sir. About the ownership, I just didn't know if you wanted to get BET.
That's like the Miss Pat show.
Miss Pat.
It's the only place you can watch. Well, you know, I take that back, because when they put Martin and Jamie Foxx on HBO Max, I was like,
do you want it?
You know, so I was like, oh, there's a couple things I wanted to get around to watching, but like once it goes from 99 cents to a regular price, I'm like, yeah, we're done with this.
Yeah.
I want to talk podcasting because.
We do a podcast.
Yeah, we do, and we shout out to us for 6 years of consistent product. I'm looking at podcasts as a whole because we've done this for a while, and when we did it, I'm not saying we broke the mold and started podcasting, but we've done this for a long time. And I think podcasting is officially turning into like the alternative for artists and athletes, and I feel like it's starting to get saturated, kind of like music did, like where everybody does music now. We see more music, we have more access to it. Am I hating when I say that, or is that a fair assessment?
It's been that way for a little while.
You think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I see, only reason I ask is because I'm starting to see more artists get the spinoffs, and then they might do it for a little bit, then they'll stop. Like Fat Joe had
that's
one
just because
during,
I see him the money that they're
potentially
the bag they can get off of it.
Yeah, they're seeing what their constituents and their peers are making off of podcasts, and they want to tap into that money too.
Because it
feels
like
Gilly and Wallow just signed a $100 million deal with what's his name?
It's called
Barstool.
Yeah, they got $100 million.
So I just sometimes you see artists pop in and pop out. Like Fat Joe was an example. Athletes are starting to tap in. Like it's a revolving door of the interviews. You start to see
Draymond,
the same people get interviewed.
Going to shoot his pod.
Yeah, like it's I don't know, man. I don't want to be considered a hater because we do this, but it's just an assessment of the times. I think everybody's popping up with podcasts, and sometimes they last, sometimes they don't. And it's just turning into rap to me. Like, what everybody rap, now everybody got a podcast.
I mean, you can think about since we started doing a podcast, there were a few that started at the same time that we started and might have made it to episode 10.
You're talking about like locally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But which is one of the main reasons why when we started this, one of my main pushing points of this was, all right, it needs to be visual.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be something that's a little bit different so it can kind of grow into itself, you know, because it looks way different than what it did when we started, you know what
I
mean?
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? But we were like attempting the visual stuff even at the beginning because I knew like we had to stand out because this was going to be something that everybody was going to do.
Right.
But I don't know, to that, I would say, I don't really have a problem with people doing it necessarily, you know? I mean, I think everything's going to be oversaturated.
Do you see the correlation as it relates to how music is versus how this has become?
It's just media.
Just media.
It's media.
Just put it, lump content. It into one, media and content.
Media content, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Well, you know, it's also something that we talked about a little bit last week when everyone who has a podcast is not a journalist.
Right.
Like I said, we are content creators. I would never say that we're on the level. We're just journalists. You know, and I think that's where a lot of people get things
confused. I'm a journalist. I got a press pass.
Oh, man.
Where people get confused. You know, everybody wanted to be so mad at Nori. And some people, you know, they understood exactly where he was coming from. You know, but he was like, I'm a journalist. I was like, nah. Calm down. I do think that a lot of people don't realize that this is work and consistency is the key as far as building an audience. You know, I've had more than one person when I say that, I'm on a podcast and this, that, and the third. They're like, oh, man, I want to do a podcast. And then I tell them, okay, if you're going to do a podcast, you need to, if it comes out every Tuesday, it needs to come out every Tuesday. Or for us, it comes out every Thursday. If you're going to do it once a month, do it once a month. If you're going to do it biweekly, do it, but don't say, oh, I want to do something every week and you don't have something to say every week. You know, that's where a lot of people get the game messed up is they think, okay, I have something to say every week. And then they get on and they think we're just getting on here and we're just talking.
Right.
You know, I know it sounds like that.
Mm-hmm. You got to know me in real life. I don't talk to anybody.
Exactly.
Like,
you know,
that's facts, actually.
You know, and the thing is like, you know, really the genesis is a lot of these are when we would have conversations, we would go to coaches.
Yeah.
And it was like, we should, you know, record some of this stuff, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a structure. Like some people just think, oh, I'm going to turn on the microphone
and talk.
And in 2 hours, I'm going to have a podcast and I'm going to get all these sponsorships and I'm going to be in like, no. Like I had, you know, a friend of mine who still listens and, you know, they know who I'm talking about. I'm going to keep it very vague. And like they recorded a podcast. I listened to it. I had my back and forth. And it was like the person that they were going to record the podcast was like, oh, wait a minute. People are going to hear this. And I was like, that's the whole point of a podcast. They just thought they were just two friends talking on a microphone. And they was just going to go ahead and get rich all of a sudden. And nobody was going to hear what they were saying.
You know, like that.
There are people that just don't have a concept of what this is, the work that it takes to do it. And, you know, everybody's not, you better have a passion for this. You better have a passion for what you're talking about. And you better have, it's just like when I tell people, you know, back in the day when I did radio, I said, you know, when somebody said, hey, I love music, I want to get into radio. And I told them, you should love radio Because if you love music, radio will break your heart.
Sure.
You know, if you're in this because you want to be famous and you want to be rich, then it's going to break your heart. You better do this because you have something to say. You know, you actually enjoy communicating, even with this, you know, I love the fact that we have, you know, people in the chat, people who come and they see us every week. And I'll get texts from people who say, hey, I watch you guys like I watch a TV show. Like
love
when you guys
put
it on YouTube.
Love hearing that.
You know what I'm saying? But are any of us famous? No, we're not famous. We're not as famous as Gilly and Wallow or Joe Budden or
we ain't seen that 100 mil yet.
Yeah, not
yet.
Ain't nobody offering us no deals. We do this because we have a passion for it. And if you don't have a passion for it, then I would say, hey man, find another way to spend your time.
And that's kind of with everything media wise, because people like to tap into that energy based on what they see other people doing.
Yep.
And think it's a walk in the park.
Kind of like with, kind of like, you know, DJing.
Right.
You know,
man, you just can't get beyond turntables. Yeah. You just can't get beyond turntables and automatically know what you're doing. You got to have a musical ear. It's more than having the equipment and more than having songs. I've had people ask me, can they have my whole library?
I'm like, what?
No. Like, they're about to buy some equipment. Hey, man, you mind if I can get all your music? Absolutely not. Why would I do that?
No.
Part of being a DJ is creating your own style of DJing and getting your own music. Now, granted, you might get a folder or something from somebody with
for sure.
Some get you a little starter kit or something.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
You're not about to. Think I'm about to just hand you my whole everything that I've pretty much worked for and structured? You know,
hey, could you hook up the cue points for me too?
Yeah, come on, man.
Excuse me. People don't understand what you go through to develop that.
Yeah,
they don't know how long you've. Pulled records from here, pulled it from there to get to where it is.
Look,
you
I had,
know what I'm saying?
I had, and this is the thing, like people don't want to, about the work and the 10,000 hours. We talked about it before. I had somebody, you know, of course, if you know, like I run a nightclub.
Talk to
like,
them.
They were like, hey, can I get on? I've been DJing for 5 years.
Where?
What you say, long?
And it's and it's not to knock anybody who's been DJing for 5 years, but you know, when me and the person who are coming in, we got about 50 years of party rocking between us. You tell us about your 5 years. It's hard for me to get excited about your 5 years.
Come on, man.
You know, there's certain things you just shouldn't say to certain people.
Yeah.
You know,
nah, everybody want to be featured. They want to, hey, can I come through and rock next time? Blah blah blah. I mean,
it's the same way with the podcast.
I have a question for you, Long. As it relates to this conversation, do you think with the expansion of quote unquote media, is the bag going to start to change? Is the, you know,
it's
how
already
we are.
Changed.
I'm talking about going in which direction, because as we get more people podcasting, you know, it's just like rappers. It started off, CDs were this, CDs were that. Now it's streaming. Like, do you feel like the bread is going to start to adjust as more podcasts pop out?
I feel like it's going to.
Sponsorships. And
I feel like it's going to be better. And it already has been, right? This is a trend that's already happened with pretty much everything. When you get a whole bunch of people interested in a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are really good or take it serious are going to stand out that much more from the people that don't take it as serious or aren't as knowledgeable. The one other thing that I was going to add real quick, it's not just about consistency. It's not just about having a love for wanting to do it and wanting to talk about something and stuff. It's also like being knowledgeable on the stuff you're talking about and having some sort of integrity about mm-hmm. you, about what you're speaking on. Like, we're not just four random people talking about hip hop, regardless of if you know us or not.
True.
You know, if you really want to pull our cards or go look us up, you can.
Google's a powerful tool.
It really is. So, like, that's a part of it, too. But back to your question. Yes, I feel like overall it's good. It's good for I feel like it's good for people like us mm-hmm. because more people are going to be looking at the space to want to give money to it.
Right.
In that aspect. I don't necessarily believe in the oversaturation thing in the sense of it hurting people that are a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Only because there's an infinite amount of money out there and there's an infinite amount of
mm-hmm.
space and time. It's just one thing that we are always going to have to do. And we, you know, we do every week is we have to battle for airtime with people's attention spans. That's the hardest part.
True.
So, but as far as the, you know, the money portion of it, I think it's going in the direction. I think more companies are doing it. You know, everybody does have a podcast or something like that. Everybody wants to sit and talk about something, but what's going to make me want to listen? You know, and we struggle with it. It's not like we have a bazillion people that listen every week.
True.
We have a lot of people that listen every week, but we don't have a ridiculous amount. And, you know, it's a challenge because we are, even though we are experts in our field, which I would say, it's also something that where we're also not really anybody that's super motivated by being super popular or being right. super.
That's a good point.
It's kind of like if we wanted to be popular, we trust me, we talk about other things.
We could we could get there. We know how to get there is my point. You know, like we could get there very quickly. It's not really that hard.
Go ahead.
No, it's similar to the beginning of hip hop. I mean, it started out for love. I mean, you still have people that do it for the love.
Mm-hmm.
That bag wasn't there yet.
Right.
The same thing is going on with podcasts. Like there was a pocket for it. There was some revenue for it.
Right.
But now I just see it going up and up and up. I mean, like I just said, Barstool just gave Wallow and Gilly $100 million.
Yeah.
Like when what's his name? Joe Budden got his deal.
It was unheard of.
That was massive.
Yeah.
When Joe Rogan got his deal.
It was like, what?
That was massive. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just going to continue to grow and get bigger based on, I mean, you of course, you have to have the fans and you have to have the content, but it still has to have that look.
You both made a good point. I had the conversation with my mother as well. When we talked about, we know how to get there. We want to get there. And I told my mom, I said, she follows, and I'm not saying watching every episode, but she knows what's going on.
Does she watch the episodes where you screw up the English language?
I'm sure you've sent them to her.
No.
I mean, we could create a whole super cut.
Oh, he'll do a collage, and somebody, I can show it to my mom.
Where the video?
No, what is the one where you said spoke?
No.
I was like, fam.
No. We know about that.
Anyway, sorry, not
that. Yeah.
No interns for that. Oh. But I just had the conversation with her about, you know, she says, well, how is it going? And are you guys starting to see, you know, mamas want to know about the income. What are you seeing? Is stuff starting to come in? Do you have sponsors? I said, yeah, we got a few sponsors. I said, but Ma, we haven't downgraded our quality, and we haven't done the foolishness that could boost us up, because we've had a certain level of integrity and, you know, quality that we stuck to, and it's going to take longer. You know, to what you guys talked about. She's like, yeah, that makes sense. Cause she said, you can go out and act a fool and get some money. I said, Mom, they doing it every day.
Yeah, I mean, they doing it every day.
And plus, none of us are what you would say famous.
Right.
You know, Gilly, you know, for whatever you say, he was a signed rapper. You know, Joe Budden.
Yeah.
You can say he's a one hit wonder, but that's one more hit than any of us have.
And they interview big people. We don't do
interviews. Yeah, I can't.
We've interviewed people. Don't get me wrong.
I can't call, like, you know, on last Joe Budden, he just like randomly called DJ Drama. None of us have those kind of connects where we can just call DJ Drama or whoever.
For sure.
You know.
And that's definitely a nice added bonus. We'll just say that to be able to do that. But no, y'all make
resources to tap into.
Facts. Y'all make good points, though. That's good points, especially with you about oversaturation not necessarily being, you know,
I think it's just how you.
Thing.
I think it's just how you look at it. You know, like when
people fall off so quickly.
For sure, I'm looking at like what can we do to be consistent? What can we do to make sure that we continue to grow? If you followed our shows over the last 310 episodes, you've seen the growth, right? And you've seen the stuff that we talked about. You've seen not only the growth in like the visual, and the audio has always pretty much been pretty good, but the visual portion has gotten better, you know, and how we present ourselves and all this other stuff like that. But you've also noticed an improvement in how we speak, how we approach topics. You've seen how, you know, we don't talk over each other unless we've been drinking a lot. You know, we're not noring
the hell out of it,
you know, but it's... It's, you know, there is a lot that goes into it. And, you know, I've had many consultations with people that have been interested in podcasting, and I've been very upfront with them, you know, like,
as you should,
you know, like, look, you can get into this pretty easily, but that's not where the work is.
Mm-mm.
So it's being consistent and, you know, like, it's number one, it's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Why do I care?
Yeah.
It looks pretty.
Why do I care?
It looks real pretty.
Why do I care who you are?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you can get me to care, then you're doing something. But it's like,
I know that for a
fact. But that's the way that I address it. It's like, you know, what can you do to impress me? What? Why would I want to listen to your podcast?
Why would I take an hour
out of my time?
You know, why do I need to pay attention to you? And there are a handful of podcasts and shows out there that people do a really good job. The information is super, you know, provocative. It's super.
It is. Some people do a bad job, but it's just because of who they are.
They are. Yep.
The reason why they get the fanfare and the traffic.
And those people will always be there. And those people will continue to jump higher, and they will soar past us because of who they are. But that's just part. That's the game. That's what it is.
You know, and you can't be mad at you. I, at least I'm not going to be mad just because somebody is famous and they said, hey, I want to do a podcast today. And all of a sudden they just already automatically have 10,000 listens built in.
It's what it is.
It's what it is. Yeah.
You know, and then you have people like, I'm going to throw him out there, JJ Redick, who's done a spectacular job of not only taking his fame that he had, but also like having extremely good content with it. Like, he's the one sports podcast show that I'll watch because I feel like he conducts really good interviews and he's super knowledgeable about it. And on top of that, he can literally pull up all these people and call all these people. Like, he's been there. He knows all that stuff. So it adds.
I would agree with JJ for sure.
I really like the old man in the three. You know what I mean? So,
but I think what really speaks to our audience and our following, who I think is very dedicated, even though they may not be the largest following in the world, is because we have given them something that they can use. We've given them not only entertainment, but information. And because we haven't stepped off the porch and decided we're going to do the BS, they've stuck with us. You know, like,
we appreciate it. Because we got morals in this.
Yeah, because the crazy thing is,
my favorite Terry
the
line.
People, we have more, like, because of course, if you didn't already know, whoever's watching or listening, you know, we record this in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah.
But Indianapolis, Indiana is not where we get most of our listens and views.
You'd laugh if you actually saw the percentage.
You know, we get most of the people who listen and view this podcast are from, aren't even people that
Wichita,
we know. Kansas. Yeah, they'll be across the country and sometimes across the, we got listeners internationally that engage with us. So like we're thankful to them because clearly we have something of value, even though none of us are famous and we can't call anybody famous, but we're talking about something that is interesting and it's consistent and we've done a good job to where they're dedicated to what we do here.
You can do that too.
Yeah, and you can do that too. But once again, it's about, you know, if you're going to do it once a month, do it once a month. If you're going to do it every week, you know what I'm saying, figure out what's going to work for you, because if you just come in here every, you know, all willy-nilly and be like, yeah, I'll do a podcast today and put it out tomorrow, and then you won't do another one for 3 weeks and then you expect them to build a following.
It's like a marriage.
It don't work
man.
Like that.
It's like a marriage.
Wisdom. That's wisdom right there. Well, I guess we could.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
So, Drizzy Drake is going to drop a joint album with 21 Savage. We just talked.
Hold up. I got to pause real quick.
What I do?
I just want to make sure people actually voted for this.
Oh, it's in there. Yeah, go pull up Discord.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, pull up Discord.
I know. I'm listening to
the people.
I just want to make sure.
I'm listening to the people. You see them? Yeah, the people spoke. What?
All right. I guess we got to.
You didn't believe it? You didn't believe it?
It was willful thinking. But
here's my question, because Drake don't come across the desk too much on this here show.
Yes, he does.
Well, I mean, not for.
I mean, nobody can be gay.
He was literally the title of the very first episode.
The very first one.
Was it positive?
Drake is a pop star.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
Maybe I'm thinking positive.
Right, yeah.
That's a long time ago, Alone. You got to.
We've
mentioned
Drake.
That's my point.
A bunch of times.
Usually,
man.
You know, we talk
about on my album release day. Yeah, we know we do that.
The techno joint was trash. We talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I mean, yeah, we went. Anyways. We're extensive.
All right.
Sorry.
So you good? He really did check Discord.
Make sure we not talking about this bullshit.
Let's see, 10:27. Long got you there.
We're not recording Courtney yet. So
yeah. All right. So Drake announced he's doing a joint album with 21 Savage, right?
21.
So we talked about the Mount Rushmore and the pre-show and all that. So with the techno joint being the last joint, and now he's doing a joint with 21 Savage. Is there any excitement around this, or is fam starting to scramble?
Listen,
because these last couple albums ain't been it.
I've actually been wanting to ask this of the people who championed Drake's last album as a house classic, and we're all very enthused about it. How many of those songs have you all heard off that album?
Look, all I know is I'm in the club every week. I don't know nobody that plays any of that mess.
Exactly. But Beyonce
You know who they do play? They play the 21 Savage record.
Yeah, they definitely
do.
The Beyonce house album gets a lot of play. There's at least three or four songs off that album that go.
But even that, like Church Girl is the one I hear.
Yeah.
That's the least house record on that.
It is. Yeah. Well, not the We Getting Messed Up.
Oh,
tonight,
yeah, 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 yeah. They do play that.
I think it's brilliant that he knows 21 is going. 21 is irrelevant. He's relevant. Drake's a pop star.
Anybody's going to work with Drake, though. Drake has that spot to where if he hits you up, it's like, hey, let's do an album. He's not going to say no.
Is Drake still Teflon? That's my question.
I'll still give him that title.
Okay.
He still can drop whatever he wants to drop whenever he wants to drop. But Drake, too, has a gambling problem. So he might need to keep dropping these albums to re-up.
Yeah, but those are sponsored man. Posts.
He does look nasty
when I see the videos. I was like, did he just lose $10 million?
Come on, man.
He said he got that gambling money. He's the Michael Jordan
of the pop and hip-hop sphere.
You going to put that on that man?
That's what it looked like to me.
Okay,
it looks like he might need to drop these albums to recoup. I can make more bets.
My favorite part of The Last Dance is when like he's sitting there with the sunglasses on, talking about, "Come on, man! If I had a gambling problem, my kids would be out in the street, and I wouldn't have no food." Like I was like, "Yeah, everyone who's ever been around somebody who's done cocaine is triggered right now." Right. Go back and like Mike was turned up when he was talking to Ahmad.
Hey, gambling's a crazy drug, man.
No, it is
because you know what happens is you win early and you're like, okay,
you get a taste of that win.
I put a couple dollars into the FanDuel.
It's like
a week.
The way that I kind of look at it is it's kind of like being addicted to like a drug without the drug side effects. So you're like a normal person.
They're releasing dopamine when they get that win.
But what I mean is like, so you appear as a normal person as opposed to like if you're on like some sort of heavy drug, you can obviously tell that they are. This person seems super rational.
You can't see it when you're gambling.
Because I put a dollar in on a baseball game. And I got 100 back on my first try. And I'm like, why don't I do this all the time?
I'm telling you.
That's how they hook.
Fall into that trap.
But that's how they build waterfalls.
He got millions of dollars to play with.
That's how they build waterfalls in the desert. But back to Drake and his music.
So he's still Teflon.
Like mirages?
Yeah.
Drake's still Teflon.
He can drop whenever. You've seen what happened with the last one. You don't remember everybody saying how good that album was? Remember? And that we weren't cultured because we didn't like it.
We didn't know how to be around pretty girls because of this music. We never been on a boat or nothing like that.
That type of energy. That was some energy.
Look, I get seasick, okay?
Yeah, that was some of the energy. He's not capping. I don't know, man. Are you excited about listening to it, Jedmore?
Based on the fact that the only song I liked off that last record was the one he did with 21 Savage, yeah. And I like 21 Savage with Drake. I like 21 Savage with J. Cole. I like 21 Savage by himself, you know.
I like 21 Savage with Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I like 21 Sandwich.
What?
Nothing.
So, you know, if the production is there, if Metro Boomin shows up, which I'm pretty sure
he will.
Because he wants some more.
I think he trusts him.
And if he gets those beats that are gonna knock a little bit when you put them on a good stereo, then this is gonna be. I mean, we might get a summertime album in the winter.
Are you gonna do your club research ears, or are you just gonna do day more the consumer ears?
I gotta do both.
Just checking on you.
Like I said, when I sit and listen to a lot of records, it's because I want to listen to them and I enjoy. But you know, like even from artists who don't make quote unquote club friendly record, I was like, let me see if they just got one on accident. Yeah. I did that with Rhapsody. There are a couple records. We snuck in off her last album into the club.
Nice.
You know, because she had some things that could move the crowd a little bit. And I just think that with this record, as long as I don't want to hear no more Drake House, Boat and Ibiza type records. I don't want to hear none of that. And so like I just
10:32. So we got 27 and 32 alone.
I'm just saying that like I hope he got that out of his system, and we're going to go ahead and hear. And I don't want to hear, you know, if he's doing one with 21 Savage, hopefully that means he's not going to try to do any of that struggle singing that he does.
Nah. He might be singing to 21 on a couple of joints.
He's going to be on there talking tough.
Tough talk.
It's going to be a lot of fake tough talk on Drake's end.
You know, maybe Future will show up. You know, it is what it is.
He's probably going to be in Atlanta. There might be some
real Atlanta vibes.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be good for the club and good for the sound systems, and you know
that's about it.
You know,
be a little gambling money for him.
Yeah, a little something he get. You know, to get his bankroll up.
Said Drake got a gambling problem. Oh my God, man!
Hey man, telling you.
I'll run it though. I just know his.
Pack, I mean, look, I run all this stuff.
Every time Drake drops, I ain't gonna sit there and in front and act like I did not press play as soon as it dropped.
But then I tear it up when it's trash.
Exactly.
This last handful of efforts, though, I don't know which way you're trending, but it might be downward a tad.
It's not downward at all, sir. It's if anything, it's linear.
Think it's downward in the future?
What was it?
That's like Kanye. That's a bar.
What's the album with the? that is a bar. What's the album with the emojis on the front? Didn't move me.
It didn't move you, but it moved the majority of people.
Well, no, because
you stupid. You stupid.
No, the one because I talked about
Mr.
how
Lover Boy.
Yeah, certified lover boy. I said how that has Mr. Lover.
He said I'm sorry,
Mr. Lover Man.
He said I'm sorry. Am I okay?
No, and I came in here and told people that how bad that I'm Too Sexy song was, and I was like, this is awful. But it, once again, don't ask me if I like it. Ask me if it'll work.
It ain't about I'm not the fan base. So to Terry's point, it ain't about me. So I guess that goes towards your Teflon argument that everything's still in place. Huh?
Yeah, I realize you're not a majority out here. I'm not. I'm in the minority. Music and what you're into.
What's your favorite Gibbs project?
Probably Pinata.
Pinata.
I loved Alfredo.
Alfredo was tough too, though.
Yeah.
But even that Freddy album was tight. But that's not better than those albums.
Pinata, that was the first Madlib collab, right? Pinata was first, and then
what was the second?
Bandana.
Bandana was second. Yeah, yeah.
Bandana was good.
I don't know.
Bandana was good.
You know what? The thing is, you could ask me on three different days. Mm-hmm. I'll give you three different answers.
That actually speaks to what we talked about with his discography, the fact that you can go through there and find multiple.
You guys haven't even mentioned my favorite one.
What's that?
What's it called? Once in a life, twice in a lifetime, once in a lifetime.
Oh yeah,
the LRG sponsor one.
No, the one he's talking about is the one where he had just come off the jail situation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's got the song.
Kate Renata production on there.
Alexis.
That joint is cold.
It's just crazy. Like his discography. Andrea. It's really kind of crazy for the amount of time he's been out.
Freddie has some like comical moments on it, but it's some.
That's the one where he's like looks like a singer on the cover, right?
Yeah. He looks like
Teddy Pendergrass. Yeah. Teddy Pendergrass?
Yeah, that's what
it was. Teddy Pendergrass.
Just a remake of that cover. That's a good point, Lone. Discography wise,
pretty thorough.
We can have a conversation. I'm talking about with some of our favorite rappers. Mm-hmm. We can have a conversation.
Yeah.
He's up there, you know, and
he's finally crossed over into that pasture. The people he was aspiring to be are now looking at him as a peer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Looking at him as competition, so
he just kept at it, man.
Yeah, this last album, had
you know, because at one point, remember, I remember thinking, oh man, he's on CTE with Jeezy. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be real now, and then like nothing really came of that.
That's like the worst part of his career.
They said it actually made him better by going over there.
The best thing I think that happened.
Yeah,
you
saw that major label system.
I'm just speaking musically.
Sure.
Not from personal standpoint.
I think the best choice he ever made in his life was doing the joint, with Madlib, because I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't think they could pull that off.
It really exposed him to an entire fan base that would have never listened to him.
Now they who would have never checked for Gangsta Gibbs.
Not to mention he was on. The Grand Theft Auto soundtrack.
He was on that too. True. Yep, true. I was literally just thinking that.
Yeah. But when I heard Freddie Gibbs and Madlib are doing an entire album, I didn't necessarily say it can't, but I'm like, I don't see it. I can't hear it. I don't know what this is going to sound like. And after I heard that, I said, it's a rap. Like he can do whatever he want now. Because to Lone's point about the crossover, he brought in a huge audience that he never would have tapped into.
Second best crossover hip hop music thing of all time, maybe.
You think so?
It's up there. First to me would be Run the Jewels with Killer Mike and LP's crossover.
Yeah, no one coming out.
It's just they were both like respected in their own realms. Like LP was underground, Def Jux, all that stuff. But when
Company Flow,
Company Flow. Like I just didn't see it, and then it just popped off. Like I feel like all the Def Jux hip hop nerds gravitated and found out about Killer Mike, you know, like and vice versa, and it just turned into something just that was like, whoa,
yeah, like movement. Like you said, it's the same thing with, you know, people in Festival Atlanta killers. That love Killer Mike,
yeah, for sure.
They destroy them festivals, don't they?
They destroyed those stadiums, you know, because they were on tour with Rage Against the Machine. Zach De La Rocha got hurt, had a leg issue. So
a nice little lineup.
Yeah, so they had to, you know, and I saw a lot of the behind the scenes stuff through Trackstar, the DJ. Shout out to him, St. Louis Connect. But yeah, I mean, like, you, once again, as being performers in hip hop, it still means something.
Yeah,
because I say this when, you know, when we talk, when they talk about the importance of radio and this, and like, think about it, technically Run the Jewels doesn't have any hits, but right, they're in arenas.
Yeah,
yeah, selling them out,
you know. And
And
your goofy ass is on here on radio every 45 minutes, and you can't get a club date to sell out.
Oh.
So you got to understand.
And that's wisdom right there. Yeah, that's wisdom. You can't get, what, $2,000 to come in and watch?
There are people who thought, like, there are people when they come up and ask for, what's the young lady, Ice Spice, they'd be like, hey, can you play that record by Munch?
Oh, no, that's what you hear?
That's what I hear.
But see, here's the thing about this real quick.
Yeah.
And this is why I always advocate for people that are artists, just to ignore the radio.
Uh-huh.
And we always go back and forth about that. But the reason why I say it's so relevant is because the radio isn't like, there is no place that you can start at, like, here, and then gradually get to the radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is if you get found, but you can get to the Run the Jewels place if you grind hard enough, like, to a point. Like, Freddie Gibbs is a perfect example. Like, Freddie Gibbs has been out since 2006.
Technically, he doesn't have what you would call a hit song.
No, but he doesn't have any radio songs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But that's what I mean. Like, you, if you're good enough with, like, if you can follow the Freddie Gibbs imprint of just working with everybody, working all the time, and with great product,
and respect,
continually put it out, be super consistent. Same thing we mentioned with the podcast, you know, conversation. And eventually you'll get to a certain level. It's like, I remember watching Marlon Craft when he was just a dude rapping in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Now he's putting out tons of material. He's just rapped on Funk Flex, you know, like, he's doing all this stuff, but he was just a dope rapper that continually put out good content over and over again.
What's the young fella's name that's the producer that we talked about his kids?
Which one?
With the glasses, the afro, work with Lupe.
Kalen Ellis.
Prime example. I remember watching that kid's videos where he was just in his room, and these beats are crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, he's got multiple kits out. He just had a collab project
with the Count,
your boy the Count.
They got an album out called a Vignette.
Oh, it's a project. Okay.
Yep. So they put out a free kit with.
Oh, it comes with it?
Well, they released it with it.
Okay. So. But I say that to say, he's from where he started off to now, just being dope and grinding, being consistent.
That's the one thing. Like, you can get there as an independent. Striving for radio and the lateral stuff that it takes to get to the radio and to get radio play is just not realistic.
Right.
No, it's movie stuff.
So.
Mm-hmm. And Lupe, where they hear their song on the radio and get super hype.
Yeah.
That type of thing doesn't happen anymore.
Lupe didn't find him on the radio. Found him on Instagram.
Found him on Twitter.
I'm sorry.
I saw, what's the kid from the West Coast who tells a really good stories.
Vince Staples?
Vince Staples.
Yeah.
He was on, and this is a while ago, he was on Drink Champs talking about how he's been able to get his songs synced with.
Licensed, yep.
Yeah, with movies and video games.
That's where it's at, man.
And he's like.
Intentionally writes for that.
And he's like, I have made more money off. The budget for these particular projects.
Bro.
It's more than for me to record a whole album. Yep. To get something in a Call of Duty game.
These are cheat codes for them, though.
Yep.
And then T Grizzly, he plays video games on Twitch.
Yeah, I see.
And makes more money off that than he does.
T-Pain does too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The shouts to the homie Megaran. He literally, what's the guy, Clerks writer?
Kevin Smith
reached out to him directly for a record on something that they did. But he also has a record on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game.
And
it sold over 1 million copies.
Yeah,
so Shredder. He's technically went platinum off
yes,
that.
The Shredder's Ghost, Raekwon and Ghost to have a song on Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah.
And it to circle everything, come back full circle to what we talked about, media.
Yeah.
Content.
It's just about media and content.
Them checks cash the same.
So I went down to the starting in 07, but Which I didn't, a lot of these I didn't even know.
I ain't never heard the I Smell Panties EP.
I feel like Tyler.
No, me.
That's what it's called.
I missed Tyler's that somehow.
So, Tyler's
as well.
So funny. I feel like we got to start with Yonkers.
Hey, Yonkers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yonkers is fire.
I'm going to go off.
He did the Odd Future tape.
Till this day.
I don't feel like he's probably going to have a lot, though, that's outside of himself, really. Though, right?
Nah.
So he did the Odd Future tape back in.
Casey Veggies.
08, Casey Veggies. He did, let's see.
Brandon Deshaies, okay. He had his little run. Haji Beats, who's a part Haji of part of Odd Future as well.
Okay.
Earl Sweatshirt as well. Dama Genesis, who is as well. The Jet Age of Tomorrow, I remember that, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Goblin was dope.
A lot of Casey Veggies. Frank Ocean.
The Internet.
Yeah, the internet.
That's dope.
It's not really hip hop though.
Unfortunately.
Channel Orange got a joint on there.
Yeah, not hip hop.
Mac Miller. Yeah. Watching movies with the sound off. Schoolboy Q, Oxymoron.
That counts.
Yeah. A lot of
he produces whole Wolf album. He does all his albums. That's crazy.
Blank Face.
That was
I didn't know he did.
Schoolboy.
That.
He did.
Yeah,
that
joint is hard.
Not all of them. Well, that's just the LP. I don't know what he did off that.
I thought you were saying he did the title track.
No.
Blank
I was about,
Face.
These
are just
albums.
These are projects he's a part of. Solange is When I Get Home.
Great album.
West Side Guns, Pray for Paris. Snow Allegra.
Oh, I got them backwards. You're right.
Temporary Highs in the Violet Skies. Maxo Cream. Says Control. So those are some of the ones. So anyways, if you want to go, through some of these records? Or?
Well, it's just I'm seeing a lot of production on his solo albums where it looks like he's doing the majority of all of them.
He's doing,
which I'm impressed with.
He's got a hand on everything.
Yeah, I'm impressed with. I'm really impressed.
You know how to play keys.
Yeah, he get busy in there.
All that. He's a student of Pharrell.
Definitely. The Pusha T joint I think it's called O with
Haji Beats.
Yeah.
Party with Pop Smoke. He did that one off Pray for Paris.
Okay.
Let's remember that.
Yeah, that was dope.
Pray for Paris
might
up.
Be my favorite West Side Gun.
Yeah,
record.
I remember you talking about it.
He's got a new one coming out too.
Yeah,
pretty soon.
He did a Neon Peach and In the Moment off Snow Allegra's album.
Schoolboy Q, The Purge.
Matt Martians, Dent and Just Say, and Calling on Me.
The whole Cherry Bomb album.
Big Body from Schoolboy Q.
Oh, he did. I didn't know he did that for.
The Doors from Mac Miller.
That song is cold.
Remember it?
Yeah, I didn't know it's the intro. That song is cold. I didn't know he did that. That's impressive.
He did
Blank Face.
He did Okay off Watches Movies with the Sound Off. I remember that one.
Flower Boy was dope. Did the whole thing.
Garbage from Grand Theft Auto. All of Wolf. You know,
yeah. I'm impressed at the fact that he did all of the majority of all his projects.
Yeah, he did a whole Dr. Seuss. Little set. You know, he did that.
Bruh.
The Grinch.
Lilo F's Stitch off I Smell Panties. Sounds like a Tyler song,
Jerry,
doesn't it?
You ain't heard that EP?
You just want to say I Smell Panties again on there.
Yeah. I Smell Panties.
Oh, my God.
That's not how the song goes.
I know it don't sound like that.
It could. Who knows?
Good.
Let's see.
Goblin. Yonkers. Yeah. You know, all that stuff. Yeah, I think we got enough, right?
Yeah, that's heat. All that is heat. Yeah.
I guess I should pull it up. All right. Well, let's do it.
I know she has as much heat as she does.
Oh, she's
fired.
Who? Snow Lurker?
Yeah.
She got fire. She's heat. Don't do that.
Impact on peers and uncumping purposes.
I'm giving him a 9 for that one.
Oh, what?
Purposes.
Purposes. Okay.
Yeah. What is Tyler's impact influence? I'm going to go like 6.
I'm going to give him a 6.
I'll give him 9 for that.
That's a little high for me. I'm going to go 7. It's a little high for me.
I think he impacted a whole subculture, which turned into a main culture.
I just don't know who any of those people are.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'm sure we will see that. Mm-hmm. No, I feel like he will. Like,
I can't
eventually
pick him out now.
But for right now,
yeah, I can't.
I'm
just
sorry, I give him 6.
No,
yeah,
I definitely could see that though. I see him having a very Pharrell-like influence. Versatility.
He's very versatile.
I'll give him a 7.
I'm gonna go 8. He's very versatile.
Yeah, I'll give him a 7.
You said 8, Jay?
I said 7.
7. Mike, you said 8.
Yeah, I'm 8. Yeah. He's very versatile.
Yeah, I think 8 is fair. Collaborators, different hip hop styles of artists.
That might get him a little bit.
8.
Am I tripping hip hop wise?
I mean, Mac, Haji.
Pusha T.
Pusha T.
Snow Allegra.
They sound different.
Schoolboy.
Schoolboy Q.
I got to give him a 7 there.
I actually got to give him an 8 on the influence.
I'm with Jay. I'm with Jay Moore on the 7 for this one.
7. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go 7 on this 7 one. As well, I think. Pretty consistent with the types of people he works with, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Hit making, big hits, cult classics.
4.
Whoa.
6.
6.
Yeah. I know his records, but if you're not a fan.
Cult, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's cult. That kind of buys into cult a little bit.
Yeah, I fall into the cult.
Drinking the Kool-Aid, huh?
I stick with my 4.
This one is tough. Because
once again, he's got cult. It's cult, classics, and big hits.
He's
got hits. Yeah, I mean, he's got Grammys.
5.
It's
definitely 5.
5?
Okay.
5.
I'll take
4 to 5.
Yeah, the cult classics was to make sure to throw that in there just so
I feel you.
I'm going to go...
He said drinking the Kool-Aid. It's petty.
I'm probably going to do 6. I feel like Yonkers is like...
Man.
Yeah,
when that came out was pretty... But that's the one that I can't really think of any other ones that are like super... I mean, he has records. Don't get me wrong, but...
No, he's got joints, but to be fair, I think we all in the same area. I think we in the ballpark. It's fair.
Consistency of quality material released.
8.
Hey, I'm giving him a 9.
I give him an 8.
He's consistent. I'm giving him a 9.
I think he's worked up to the 9.
Yeah. I'm giving him a 9.
He's not somebody that has fallen off. He's definitely not there. Body of work?
Man, off his albums alone.
8.
Throwing in what he's done, I'm going to go 9. I'm a legit fan of dude. I'm trying not to be biased, but... He puts out high quality material back to back to back.
What'd you say?
What's
body of work?
7.
I think I'm gonna have to go 7 as well though. Some of his older stuff. I feel like he's growing to that, but I don't think he's always been.
He kind of hit his stride with Flower Boy.
Yeah. Final product. How often are the songs great from Tyler production?
9.
He's
songs are, you know, for whatever. I feel like the songs are great.
He makes dope records, man. He makes dope records. I'll follow Jay Moore with that. He makes dope records.
I'll give him a 9 on that.
If I'm spanning his entire discog, I can't go higher than an 8.
8, okay.
Melodic elements.
8.
I listen to his production a lot. I'm going to go 10.
Ooh. I'm going to give him an 8.
There's mad layers in his music, man. I'm giving him an 8. He's dope.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 9 because I was thinking 9 or 10 as well.
He's dope. He's dope at that.
Drum programming.
I mean, he's there. 8. It's there. 8.
8.
There.
7. Yeah, no.
What we missing?
I can do 8, Terry. What did you say, Terry? All right. 7.
That is a high score.
7.7.
I'm going to be mad.
Somebody going to be mad.
Yeah, 1 point more than Noah.
Noah had so many hit records, though, man. It was...
Well,
didn't we give him 10?
That's why there's so many categories, you know. Like, you can say, hey, you were better than him here, but, like, over here, nope.
You got 10 like down Noah the line had in hit-making.
Sure did.
And yep. I threw a 4 in there.
Yeah.
And he still ended up, wow.
Higher than Missy.
Higher than Missy.
Higher than a lot of people. Like.
It goes to show you, Drake is... Not losing any momentum, man.
It's because he makes all these mysterious records.
Yeah, mysterious.
And he got a gambling problem. Y'all make sure y'all go to newoldheads.com for all the education that you need this year. If you see it, like and subscribe, follow it. We really appreciate the support. Again, shout out to the chat. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Hopefully. Yeah.